I'm going to read the definition of guilt. The state of a moral agent which results from his commission of a crime, or offense by act, consent, or neglect, knowing it to be a crime and a violation of the law. The state of being guilty, a fault, an offense, to have to pay. It's basically knowing that you violated a law, therefore you have a price to pay. Now, many times Satan can make you think you violated a law. There are some people who feel guilty about everything. And depending on your coping mechanism, which means whatever demonic way of escape you take, one way of handling guilt is to blame everybody else and think you're not guilty of anything. And then you look for a way to blame someone else. And everything filters through a spirit that says why it's somebody else's fault. And you live fault-finding. You live blaming other people. But see, the problem with that, you think it takes away your guilt, but all it does is cause you to constantly defend yourself, constantly look at others, and basically become very bitter. So I'm not going to get into all the things that guilt does, because that's on the teaching, and it's, like I said, it's 4 CDs, which is like, they're packed too. So it's a long, there's a lot of things there that's going to help you see that. But one thing when we were doing this teaching that I didn't get into too much is this being a base, A-B-A-S-C. And what happened is I was doing inner healing. We were breaking people free from guilt. And I was praying for somebody after the conference about guilt. And when I got to this thing about being set free from the guilt, they began to cry, but it wasn't them. I can tell when you move in the gifts of the Spirit and you have a strong discernment, you may seem mean to people sometimes, because I'll say, cut that out. Who's that? That's not you. What are you doing? That's not you. And so if you ever hear that, don't get all offended and start crying, talk bad about me. I've discerned that there is a hurt. There's a part of their personality that has been captured at an earlier event through guilt by the enemy or fear, and they're all combined. And so when I see that thing triggered, I don't buy into the manipulation of it. I don't buy into that that's the person. What I have to do is help that person see that's not them. And then they can separate from this thing and get rid of it, okay? So that happened. So this hurt memory in Margaret triggered tears. Now what happens is a devil, came to the surface in her thoughts, overtakes her, and tells her how bad she is, tells her how in love she is, tells her how nobody cared about her, tells her how her mom didn't take care of her, tells her how God was wrong when he made her. And all of this, without it even having to be verbalized that much, materializes to such a place that she responds with strong depression, heaviness, tears. Now, in the past, she thought that was her. And she thought, this is just how it is. But now she knew that wasn't her. So you can actually trigger this stuff as the Holy Spirit's working, and the person gets so strong in what God's doing inside of them that they'll say, hey, who's ever living in that house next door? I'm not in agreement with it. Just take that hurt part of me, set him free, and get him over here in the house that God's building. A base, to lower or to depress, to throw or to cast down, to have a false humility, to degrade, okay? A bash is to make the spirit fall, to cast down the countenance of, to make one ashamed, to confuse or confine. A spirit that causes you to feel abashed is one that, it says it kind of comes suddenly and it brings on guilt. Now this was powerful, I saw this too, Margaret, and infirmity. What the Holy Spirit showed me was that a base, because everybody understand what a base is now, is to abase yourself is to think poorly about yourself, to come in agreement with how horrible everything is, how bad you are, how stupid you are, how you mess things up, how everything's your fault. It can go on and on and on depending on how strong. Now, being abased is the counterfeit of conviction and repentance, okay? Conviction of the Holy Spirit brings brokenness. Conviction of the Holy Spirit causes you to see yourself the way the enemy has caused you to be, without your hiding places, without blaming others, without running to hide, without lashing out, whatever it is. Do you see what I'm saying? Normally, what happens over the course of time is if there's an area where you have guilt and shame, an area where you feel bad about yourself, the minute that anyone touches that area, you become irrational. You don't know it, because what happens is a spirit takes over in your mind and you twist what is being said. You take everything as if you're being attacked. Do you know what I mean? I know what I mean, because I've talked to enough of you. I have been blamed for everything. I mean, I have absolutely been treated as if I was your mother who beat you, your father who attacked you or wasn't there, your dog who bit you, whatever. I mean, I could just be talking, and all of a sudden, people storm out. It's a very interesting ministry. It's not one that they recommend for church growth or quick church growth. It's definitely one that's needed to see mature, free believers come forth loving God. Just to put it on the record, I love you guys in the Lord. Some of you I really love because I know you well. And all of you I love to the degree that I know that you're wonderfully made. But I don't spend that much time thinking about you, trying to ruin your day, trying to bring this stuff up in your life, okay? And you're so self-absorbed that you think I sit around and I think about you and everything I preach is directed at you because I have a thing against you, and I don't even think about you, okay? If I think about you, it's only because God has placed you on my heart at some point in my prayer life, and I pray for you, and I let it go. Okay? Because I don't have enough time to think about you all. And it would just way be too overwhelming to my brain and my life to spend all my time thinking about you. When you're self-absorbed, you think everybody's thinking about you. You think everything everybody says or does is about you. And you've learned to fight that, have guilt about that, come against that, and you live this whole little life in this fuzzy little place of trying to defend yourself against stuff you really don't even want. So put down the arm. The arms, that's what he talks about. You're armed, you've got weaponry, you've got all this. Oh, she's getting close to something real. You know, it's like, go away. You know, don't go away. That's when you're coming back to them. And people leave, and they'll call me a month later. Well, you know, when you said that, you know that's why I left. I'm like, I don't even know who you are. You know, I really don't even know your name. If I saw your face, maybe I would know who you are. Well, you said that right at me, and I knew. It's like, I got some tapes. You know, I got some tape series you ought to get. Okay. I always say, I can't wait till everybody else gets to do this. It's just like a parent, they grow up, yeah, with parents, hopefully the parent grows up, but the kids grow up, and then they really don't appreciate you till they get to have children and see what you did, what they did to you through the other eyes. That's what ministry is like, too. Except my prayer is you all grow up in Christ, grow up into Christ. And I'm growing up at the same time, so it's more like brothers and sisters fighting than anything else. But, okay, so that scripture is very powerful tonight for some of you to get the picture. You've got to unarm this enemy in you. You've got to take away his weapons. You've got to take away his weapons of arguing. You have to take away his weapons of blaming. You have to take away his weapons of running. You have to take away his weapons of accusing. You have to take away his weapons, okay? We can't get him out till you de-arm him with the word of God. One way is to recognize that there's a weapon operating. You've got to stop and see how you react to things. The Holy Spirit leads. The devil causes you to react. The devil provokes. The Spirit leads. The devil provokes. If you ever run out of a place, if you ever leave angry, if you ever tell people off, it's not God telling you to leave. He doesn't do it that way. He will never do it that way. The Bible says if you're offended, you go to the person. That's God's way. Why? Because you're going to work out that offense if you're really sincerely seeking God. Okay. Don't run into the arms of the enemy and then let him do what he wants with you. All right. Repentance. Let me give an idea. All right, idea. When I was preaching on guilt, and I had no idea it had anything to do with me, I really didn't think I was a person who used guilt, and I really didn't think I was a person who felt guilty. And God had dealt with a lot of this over years. Some of it's just a process of taking the armory away from the enemy. So when I was preaching it, the Holy Spirit began to show me, when you do that, you're putting guilt on your kids. I was convicted. You can listen to the tapes. I was like, he's talking to me. Wait a minute. You guys, wait a minute. You know, I didn't get angry at God. I didn't think, oh, I'm going to change the topic. This can't be me. I actually got excited because I've learned. I asked him to show me why my son and I had a little tiny disagreement when I was buying some Christmas presents that got kind of, it hurt me so bad, and it shouldn't have. I thought, why would that hurt so bad? And I asked the Lord to show me that. I didn't know he was going to show it to me at my conference because I did not connect it with guilt at all. But when the Lord showed me that he was responding to me putting guilt on him, which causes resentment, which we may do next Tuesday's Christmas. We can't do it next Tuesday, the following Christmas. You guys have 2 whole weeks before you can get free from resentment. So bind it up or get it on your own. You can do that in the Holy Spirit or get the tapes. There's already tapes on it. But resentment builds when, this is good for you, Laurie. Resentment builds when you use guilt to try to control your children or to cause their actions to change or to cause them to want God. And I'm not going to look into resentment tonight. I'm not doing it. It'll take too long. Okay, but resentment we'll do next. We'll do a part two resentment. We have a teaching on it. Okay. Now, here's how conviction works. The Holy Spirit gently shows you, maybe not so gentle sometimes. He first tries to do it gently. This is the answer to that thing in your heart you've been asking me to get rid of. When you see it, he makes it really clear to you. Usually even gives you examples. So you're not just coming up to an altar call that you don't really know you've done. At that point, you can let the devil be armed again and start making up excuses and blaming everything and not dealing with that conviction, which would not be a good thing to do. Or you can realize there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. I'm not being condemned by God. God is helping me to undo the works of the enemy that Jesus Christ paid to undo. This is the Holy Spirit showing me an area that I've had all these years thinking it was me and now realizing it was the enemy, it wasn't me. All of a sudden, I get the alert, there's a trespasser on board. There's still a little bit of a house left from your past. And you go to the Holy Spirit and you say, ooh, demolition derby, come on. Get this sucker out of there. I don't agree with him. Oh, God, forgive me that I did that to my kids. That's why they're resentful. That's why we had that blow up. Oh, God, I didn't mean to hurt my kids with that. God, would you forgive me? Of course, he died to forgive me. I didn't have the guilt thing, so I knew it was God. Some of you, oh, I can't believe I did my kids. I can't believe it. They'll never forgive me. Well, if they don't forgive you, they'll go to hell. So I think they'll forgive you. Even if you made their life hell, once they find Christ and really want him, they're going to pick God over hell. So don't worry about it. But abasing is like, so with conviction, it's like, oh,
God, I can't believe I did that. That God, that's not what I meant to do. Oh my gosh, now I know my mother did that to me. Oh my gosh, it's iniquity. Oh man, I can't believe you're showing me this. Thank you. Because now things are going to change. God, I want this out of my heart. I renounce this thing. I command it to go, whoa, in Jesus' name, it has no authority. And believe it or not, you're changed. It's real. It works. You threw away his arm. You're not running. First, get rid of the weapons, folks. You'll get healed faster. You'll get delivered faster. And you'll embrace the working of the Holy Spirit. Remember when I read Luke in this, the whole thing's about wanting the Holy Spirit. Oh gosh, this even makes more sense. No wonder he says, you asked for the Holy Spirit, but you think I gave you a fish. Or you think I gave you a stone, or you think I gave you a serpent. That's how some of you act when God shows you what you've been asking him for. Oh, I know that one's true. What you're really saying sometimes is, God, show me this, but make sure it's not my fault. And make sure it's nothing about me. And make sure that, you know, so you're not really asking. You're not really seeking and knocking. If something in you gets hurt, angry, upset, the something that we need to get out of is in you. But your coping mechanism is to pretend it's not in you and it's everybody else. If you keep letting that thing stay armed, you won't get free. You'll lose a lot of friends. Your kids aren't going to like you. Your marriage will be messed up. You probably won't be able to stay in a church for too long. Because heavens, it's never you. You'll get codependent. Try to get friends who'll listen to your babble. I mean, it's just a big mess. Okay? So we want to get rid of the arm. We want to throw out the, okay, coming out the window is the machine gun now. I'm not running this time. I'm getting rid of the knife. I'm getting rid of the knife. Even the knife is coming out. Please. There goes the knife. All right, Holy Spirit, you can come in now because I'm in agreement. Get this devil out. I don't agree with him. Forgive me for ever being a part of putting guilt on people and set me free. And then you feel great. Then it's like, so when it's really repentance and you understand the cross and you get rid of this other junk, you're excited when God shows you something wrong. Why? Because it means you're becoming more like Christ. It means he's perfecting you. It means he's giving you authority in a new area. It means everything in your relationships is going to change.